Hello. I'm Christopher Emsen from the Wall Street Journal. This is an interesting report. I was particularly curious in the preamble, it was mentioned that because so much of the waste has an environmental impact, and a lot of farming today is monocrop, which is already criticized by some people as having adverse biodiversity impact, even though it's very high yield. Is there any way that you can separate out the impact of monocrop agriculture and measure whether it's particularly wasted or particularly not? Does that make sense, my question? I was just wondering if where monocrop agriculture is widespread, is that a high waste method of farming, or is it actually a low waste, given that you now have all this fantastic data?
Mathilde?
Sorry, I'm supposed to push. So thank you very much for this question. We do not have the data currently available to be able to look at the waste that is due to different type of culture. We agree that it's something that is extremely interesting, and we think this should be noted as a further research.
Did you say that you have other questions from the Wall Street Journal? Okay. Any other questions in Rome? Let me then turn, before we go to Nairobi, I have a question just coming in from Voice of America, Joy De Capua, is asking us, are there currently any programs underway to salvage food that would normally go to waste and have it used in food insecure areas? Let me repeat the question again that comes from the Voice of America, Joy De Capua. Are there currently any programs underway to salvage food that would normally go to waste and have it used in food insecure areas? Mathilde or anybody else in the podium? Maybe Mathilde?
So sorry, my response will be twofold. The first part of the answer is that you actually have food insecure people right close to you. And a lot of programs are organized to distribute the food for the most needy one. And actually, the toolkit that I mentioned before is presenting a lot of this type of initiative. Now, as we're working on natural resources, food wastage, as we presented, has a gigantic impact on natural resources. And if we don't reduce this impact, we are putting agricultural system at risk, and therefore the food security of all of us. So we think that anyway, it's important to reduce food wastage in general to conserve scarce natural resources.
Thank you, Mathilde. Director General?
Yeah, let me add a comment and also related to the first question. Usually when we move for more, let's say, modern technology, especially on, harvest, mechanical harvests usually lost more products than, manual harvest. So mechanization is a way to improve. But now with modern technology that can use identification of the fruits and cereals, we have been able to reduce the loss on harvests below 5% in most of the cereal crops, for example. We have also big problems with storage, improving storage quality, using modern refrigeration, also reduce impact. And most of all, transportation is the perhaps the most easy way that we lost food. Not only food, but also fuel in the transportation. Many times you go and come back with the same product to the market. So there's a lot of initiative. One of them here in Italy, for example, the zero transportation to try to diversify food production locally and be building local circuits to local production, to local restaurant, for example, natural products. So there's many things in place, initiative. I would like to call attention the need that consumers need to be involved on that. Because we have an habit to throw out many food that can be reused or recyclable, and also reduce the proportions and the portions that we usually eat. So there are several practices that can be introduced to save food, let's say. Marilena, any comment?
No, no particular comment, but only to stress what the DG just said. We need to change our consumption patterns. How many times we serve more than we eat, and after we have to throw away what we didn't eat. And this and other way how we can recycle, not the eat it food, is another way for us to save and not to produce or to consume more. This is a long-term change of our mindset, of our habits, but it will be very important for not to preserve the natural resources, but on the other side, to assure food security. I just came for Africa, and we have on both sides, either as the DG mentioned, the supply side and the demand side. I don't comment more because he just referred, but only to say that this is a wake-up call for all of us to change the way we look at the production side and on the other side, on the way we eat, the way we consume, and our pattern.
Thank you very much, Maria Elena. I'm going to turn now to Nairobi. I see close to Mr. Steiner, my colleague, Nick Nadal, Director of Communication of UNEP. Nick, good morning. Give me a hand on this. Please take the floor and let's get a couple of questions from Nairobi, from the media there, and also, obviously, Mr. Steiner, please feel free to add anything on what we have been saying here in Rome. Nick, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Enrique. So who in the Nairobi press here would like to ask a question to FAO in Rome? If you can say, okay. So we'll first start with the gentleman at the end. If you can say who you are and where you're from. Do we have a microphone here? That's a very interesting question.
Yes, let's talk.
We do.
Let's talk.
Okay, can you say who you are and where you're from?
Eric Comonte. I'm from East Africa.
You have to speak louder because
you have to speak louder. Yeah, speak really loud. Yeah.
Ameriko Monde. I'm from East Africa. Okay, my question is on the according to the findings, where action needed. If food is not fit for human consumption, what are the best options? That is number one. What are the best options?
Okay, so if food is not fit for human consumption, what are the best options? Okay, that's the question. Yes. Did you get that in Rome?
Not very well, Nick.
Okay,
well, I think Matilde has a much better hearing than me. Matilde says yes. You hear it well. The question.
If I understood well, the question is: if food is not fit for consumption, what shall we do with it?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Yes, it is.
So that's a very good question. Actually, indeed, the best thing to reduce food wastage is to try to better adapt the need and the production. But the second best option is to reuse this food, either giving it to people in need, but when it's not fit for consumption for human, the second best option is to feed it to animals. The problem is the legislation in certain European countries doesn't allow for that in some cases. And the legislation, maybe it will be interesting to look at the legislation of each country, but feeding animals is the second best option.
Thank you. We'll take another question from Nairobi. The gentleman here on the right, can you say who you are and where you're from?
I'm Denson Machuki from Radio Omini. I please want to know if there are specific statistics for Kenya, food wastage for Kenya.
So are there specific food wastage figures for Kenya? We did discuss this a little bit earlier, and I was unsure whether there were very specific figures. The only figure I had at the back of my head was for fish, which is not part of this report, because we had some numbers with UNEP, and I think probably from FAO, that something like 20% of all the food that's caught off the east coast of Africa is lost, mainly due to power outages and therefore refrigeration problems. But any other figures would be great if you have them. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your question. And as I presented, we looked at seven main regions of the world. So Kenya is part of one of the region, but with the model, we didn't go at the national level. Nevertheless, if we have the quantity of food wastage in Kenya, we can use the regional number for the carbon emission, the water used, and the land occupation, and try to give you estimates of these three main footprints. So if you want, we can continue the discussion afterwards and try to see if we can find some specific number for Kenya, looking at the model, which is, you just saw some of the graphic, but the model behind is very, very large. And so we can try to work on that together, and we shall be able to give you some numbers quite soon.
Okay, can we just take one more from Nairobi before we go back to Rome, and then we could come back again?
Yes, Nick, go ahead.
A specific question from Ronald of China Radio International. The question is, and I know where this question, what has inspired this question, is that we had a meeting of the world's environment ministers here in Nairobi where we fed them food that would otherwise have been thrown away here in Kenya. And the food was sourced by an NGO who found that some European supermarkets were actually, in a sense, forcing Kenyan farmers to throw away food that didn't meet those European supermarket standards of cosmetic appearance. And the challenge here was also that the supermarkets asked for the food, but when they saw that some of the food was blemished, or a chicken was too small, or a mango was too big, they basically said they didn't want it, and the farmer had to swallow the cost, as well as the environment, of course. So the question we have from Ronald of China Radio International is, what about these standards of supermarkets in places like Europe and their impact on developing countries?
Mathilde, hope you got that.
Yes, thank you very much for this question. It's indeed a very important question, because supermarkets do ask some standard for the fruit should be like this, the apple should be this size, the potatoes should be that size. As a preamble, you explained that some supermarket forced some Kenyan farmer to throw away their production. This is also happening in Europe. This is happening all over the world, and it's a worldwide problem. The aesthetic concern of supermarkets are a main cause of food wastage, and some policy should be drawn up to try to be more ugly vegetable friendly.
Can I just add a word here, if you allow me, José Graciano, because I think this is also where we as consumers can make a difference. Supermarkets in the end will sell what they think sells best at the greatest return. But I think what we have seen in a number of countries, including in the UK, with some of the campaigns by civil society and NGOs, is that consumers can actually change the way supermarkets will deal with this phenomenon. Because there are, in quite a number of supermarkets now, deliberate attempts to try and bring also these non-conformist shaped vegetables back into the market. And to also look at the sell-by dates, because something that is supposed to be sold by a certain date may mean that it is best before that date, but it is still good after that date. And again, it has something to do with each one of us when we go and buy our food, and that may be less the case in a food and vegetable market here in Nairobi, but it is certainly the case in terms of the supermarket chains also in Nairobi, but also in Europe, North America, Asia, where the consumer can help supermarkets to change their policy. And we have found in the Think, Eat, Save campaign actually a significant increase in interest by some of the major supermarket chains globally to begin to address this issue, because it is actually a win-win. Supermarkets don't like throwing away food. consumers should not like it, and at the end of the day, we could actually make a joint project out of this, but it demands of all of us to also buy these products and be part of the solution.
So that's back to Rome. If you have any more media questions there, if you don't, tons more media questions here. It's up to you, Enrique.
Thank you, Mr. Steiner. Thank you, Nick. Let's go back to the floor here in Rome if there are any questions. If there are no questions, yes, we have the gentleman from... That's okay. Hold on a second for the microphone. Let's get another one.
I was just wondering what the FAO's opinion on for policy is, whether there's any merit in introducing sort of, I think they're called PIGU taxes, or, you know, punitive taxes that hurt those who waste, including, for example, consumers, because it's pretty clear, as the DG said, that the problem in poorer regions has to do with capital needs on improved storage, et cetera, but in the richer countries, it's about the consumer. So it's behavior patterns, which are going to be harder to change. But so I'm just wondering, is there an interest in making higher taxes on things, even, for example, on the level of trash collection, so that would incentivize people to get the show on the road, and might even allow supermarkets to offer two levels of tomato prices, you know, one the really round ones and then a cheaper one that would be small. But, I mean, you know, basically punish consumers for waste.
I cannot talk to FAO's opinion, but I can say that I will let you answer that. But I can tell you that all over the world, some initiative exists, and again, they are in the toolkit. You will find them. In Korea, for example, you have to weight your organic waste, and you have to pay a tax depending on how much organic waste you've done. And this created a very large incentive for people to reduce their organic waste. In Belgium, the government decided to ask the supermarket to reduce their food waste by giving it to charities. So you can see that food waste is more and more an important topic, and you can see governments taking care of that and creating new policies and things like that. So I think it's very interesting. It's something that should be done, and I think the initiative should come from the bottom up, but also a bit from top down.
Let me say that one of the, let's say, most important things is to share best practice on this issue of food, especially food waste. I can give you a simple example. One of the ways of that we know that waste a lot of food is the system of buffet of the restaurants. This is perhaps one of the most one. Also during parties, weddings, and other things. When the system is changed for pay what you eat, restaurant, the same buffet waste much less food than when you have paid per capita, for example. So those kind of best practice we are starting to promote. The same related to transportation, as I mentioned. Stimulate local circuits of food production and food consumption through tax exemptions and other things like that. Stimulate farmers' markets. That's very common in many countries, including here in Italy. A legislation that penalizes waste. This is missing in most of the country. Legislation is perhaps one of the best way to empower this effort to reduce food waste. And let me tell that one of the most promising actions and policy is the food banks. We have countries like Canada, for example, where the food banks play a vital role on reducing waste and giving the food available for people that need it. In other countries, we see that there is no legislation to support it. The food you throw is less expensive than if you give it to someone, due to the all the risks involved and the tax that you pay for that. Also, there is these nutrition facts on the highlighting the date of expiry of the products and the portion of the size of the portion of the products. We are now starting to promote half portion, including our own restaurant here in the cafeteria in FAO. So this reduces a lot the food wasted and also is good for nutrition habits.
Thank you very much, Director General. I think we are going to close here the press conference today. I would like to thank everybody, especially Nairobi, Mr. Steiner, Nick, and the journalists there for their participation, and the journalists here, and obviously the podium in FAO. I can see that Director General Graciano da Silva wants to add something.
Before close, let me also acknowledge and thanks the presence of the representatives of German government at this meeting and for the support, not only for this study, but the whole support that the country gives to FAO. Thank you.